Heyo, welcome into the CHGO White Sox live show, live podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app today and use promo code CHGO. Been doing it for 10 months. No idea whether it's a podcast or a live show. Welcome into
both.
Oh, look at that. Welcome into Studio A of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm Sean Anderson, the host of the CHGO Live White Sox podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean underscore W underscore Anderson. It's kind of like the AAA thing we were dealing with yesterday. Alongside me is the full CHGO
Can't
White Sox
you brought
crew.
That up, Herb.
I mean, you could have let that go.
Leave that in the past.
Only our podcast people would have known about that.
Hey, shout out to our guy Todd Welter, I think who it is, who keeps listening on his way in. We got Vinny Duber with us. He is our CHGO White Sox beat writer. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber, and you could read his latest work at allchgo.com, talking about if there's any moves for the White Sox to be made before opening day. We'll talk about that topic during this podcast as well. And Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him on Twitter at EchnerWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. We're talking about free agents the White Sox could sign, and apparently our chat only wants people named Elvis.
And it doesn't even matter whether they're baseball players or not.
No, I found out recently, Elvis Costello, British. I didn't know he was from Liverpool.
What?
Yeah.
I thought he was Irish.
No.
Oh, I believe he might be Irish-British, if that makes any sense. But yeah, his real name is Declan McManus.
Oh, yeah.
That's about as Irish as you get.
Fuck. As my guy Brendan said, that's Irish as Patty's pig. Yeah. Elvis Gerbach, former quarterback out there for the 49ers and the Chiefs. I enjoyed Elvis Gerbach throw or two. Michigan man, too, which I'm not. And congratulations to Jimbo on his victory with the New York Giants this weekend. It was a good job of coaching them this weekend, Jimbo.
Well, and I guess, too, if we're bringing up Elvis's, I guess we should probably give our condolences to Lisa Marie. I mean, she passed, I mean, so, like, hey, we're talking about all these Elvis's.
Condolences to other people, because she unfortunately...
Yeah, well, I guess condolences to the family.
Yeah, Priscilla. I mean, think about Priscilla. Like, she buried her husband early. I think her grandson just passed. Mm-hmm. Now her daughter passes. It's a sad time. I mean, yeah, condolences to the whole Presley family. I have to deal with that. I mean, 54, that's way too young.
Yeah, and also, too, that's why they ask if you have any history of heart problems, because her dad passed of heart problems, her mom or grandma passed of heart problems. So, yeah, just some scary stuff. It is Martin Luther King Day as well. It's January 16th, so happy MLK Day. We do have a couple stuff to talk about, just White Sox related. Ken Williams, what's his senior VP of baseball operations?
Sounds right.
Was recently on MLB Network talking about the Dream Series, which is a program for black youth to get involved. It's happened down in Arizona and mainly focusing on the involvement of pitchers and catchers, just because that is the position that sees the lowest of involvement of black youth and black baseball players. And also, too, with the news that Dave Stewart is now leading the charge to bring an expansion team to Nashville, they refer to Kenny Williams as the highest ranking baseball executive right now, African-American ranking baseball executive. Dave Stewart, if he becomes the owner of a team, pretty high ranking.
He'd be the highest.
Yeah, that'd be pretty big news there. So,
I think Kenny Williams is the only, if I'm correctly, in a spot that he is at, or that spot that he is at. So, executive VP of baseball operations of a Major League Baseball team. Because I remember a couple of years ago, he was kind of adamant looking around the room and seeing not anybody that looked like him. Mostly were owners and executive VPs, not necessarily general managers, which there's been advancement there. But he just wants to have the door open for people who look like him, because he got the job a long time ago in 2000. And, you know, it's been people who have come and gone, and he's pretty much has stayed.
Yeah, the only other GMs of, I think, 20 years ago, during the past two decades, Tony Regans of the Angels, Mike Hill of the Marlins, and Dave Stewart of the Diamondbacks. And the only active GMs were Al Avila, who's now fired.
These are people of color in general.
Yes, people of color, minority GMs. Farhan Zahadi of the Giants, and then Kim Ng of the Miami Marlins. Involvement and I think it's just so important, especially, you know, that quote that Kenny had talking about, you know, seeing him as the only person in the room. I mean, he's been in that White Sox room and leading White Sox baseball business and kept telling people to stay out of it for 25 plus years now. I mean, like, it's odd seeing somebody who has just been in power for so long and seeing a lack of power around the MLB.
I think it'll be happening. You know, Kenny's very, like, when he comes out hard. Like, he hadn't spoke since the time where he kind of stumbled over his words about Manny Machado And since then, it's been real tough to see him on any local radio stations or anything here in Chicago. But when he does come out, like over the George Floyd stuff, over him being the only representative of a black man in that room of owners and executive VPs, and now with MLB Day, MLK Day, and also the Dream Series, Kenny came to Harold Reynolds, and I think it was Lauren Shahadi today on Hot Stove, and he had a nice interview. If you haven't checked that out, go ahead. Kenny, for what he, all his faults, I like to hear the man speak every once in a while, because nowadays it seems like it's measured, it seems like it's timely, and you don't get tired of it. Rick is more of a gregarious guy you want to speak and you want to hear from every time that he does open his mouth, because he's a fun listening guy. Kenny can go off on his own tangents one time, like, you know, a guy like me talking about somebody else going on tangents. So Kenny, I love to hear him talk, especially when it's about these specific topics and having people represented in those rooms so they can see more people like that. And I think he spoke about how he was kind of assigned to the inner city when he first started scouting, and he's like, I get it, because I want more looking like me, but also, you know, there should be more people who are not looking like me in these inner city places.
Too, but what gave him an advantage was, like, he talked about it, he was, like, one of the first guys to be looking at, like, the track field, not just the baseball field or the basketball court, and we look at Tim Anderson, I mean, that was, you know, part of his, you know, great athletic background is the fact that he was a two-sport athlete, was great at baseball, great at basketball, had to decide between the two sports. We see the White Sox continuing that line of thinking too with Colson Montgomery, just keeping up with the athleticism and the athleticism you need to play baseball, which is something that Kenny's always incorporated into his teams.
And the main fault of Kenny's was that he would be trying to find too many athletes. We saw the people he would pick that looked like himself, not in the skin color, but like athletes from college who played both baseball and football. Jared Mitchell comes to mind. Courtney Hawkins was more of a high school player, played football and baseball. And he would, you know, stumble over those type of athletes instead of picking actual baseball players who just singled out baseball as their main key event, and they played well, like Mike Nelson Trout.
Who?
I don't know. Some guy that and he passed up.
We do want to give a shout-out to Kavari Thunderbird, which is a sick-ass name, Brandon Stinson, Sir Jameson Jones, which is another badass name, Justin Hart, and Dylan Head. These were some of the Chicago players that were out at the Dream Series in Arizona with the Chicago Youth Academy Aces Travel Ball Team. So congrats to them, and it's about diversifying the talent pool of pitchers and catchers in the MLB. So hopefully it does create a successful pipeline.
And Fred helping them out, Fred and Connor Smith, with Joe Borchard, Jerry Owens, Josh Fields, to name a few of the people that Kenny picked were just more athletes than actual baseball players, because Joe Borchard was a stud at Stanford for football and still holds the record for longest home run at guaranteed rate.
Jeff Samardzija.
Captain Different team drafted him.
Yeah, but you know, still was brought back.
Different Chicago team drafted him.
Still part of that big 2015 offseason or 2014 offseason.
You couldn't tell me anything about that offseason. Man, it was a great offseason in San Diego. When they got all those players, Melky got David Robertson.
Big Melky Cabrera guy, Herb.
Oh, my God. When they got him, I was like, here we go. We got our left fielder finally. Didn't work out too tough. No,
didn't. I think one of the last players, though, to hit, I think Jose was the last person, but I think right before that was Melky Cabrera is the last person to hit a cycle at guaranteed rate field for the Yankees, my friends.
Oh, okay. I thought it would have been for the White Sox. Like, no. I never did it for the White Sox. Only six people have done that.
Yeah, I think Jose
Chris Singleton's one of them.
He is.
I think Jose and Jose Valentin are the only two players in the 2000s, in the aughts, as they say, to hit a cycle for the White Sox. Let's go to some news for the White Sox. They agreed to terms with seven international free agents as the international signing deadline was just yesterday. They agreed with terms with Luis Reyes for $700,000 and Denny Lima for $10,000. Outfielders Abraham Nunez for $700,000 and Alberto for $50,000, and infielders awesome. D'Angelo Tejada, Rafael Alvarez, and Juan Uribe. Tejada and Alvarez making $350,000, and Juan Uribe Jr., I'm so sorry, I just said Juan Uribe. Juan Uribe Jr. Signed for $200,000. Any names stick out? Juan Uribe Jr. sticks out?
No, Albert Alberto. What an awesome name.
Albert.
I mean, his family... didn't like him too tough. I mean, Albert Alberto, man, that's just, it's like me naming my kid Larry Lawrence. Terrible. Come on now.
Herbo?
Yeah, that'll be so terrible. But yeah, Juan Uribe Jr., man, if he's anything like his father, and he looks exactly like his father, we're in for a great treat. It'll be awesome. We don't have an Aaron Miles to trade away to get him. We just have $200,000. That's all. And if he comes in is half as good as the legend that his dad was, all the good stories that you hear from beat writers and all the people who were in those clubhouses with Juan Uribe, some I can't say over the air because they're profane, and how he knew nobody's name, zero people's name. He would just be say, hey, black guy, white guy, white guy. Burley. No, he knew Burley's name. Or you could call him like Burley, Burley, come over here.
Bailey,
that's what he is. Bailey, come over here. That was about it.
Yeah.
And other legendary things about Juan Uribe.
And he raked, you know, and he made that one catch in the World Series a legend.
The best of all time.
Juan Uribe starting his own kind of camp down there, right?
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up the creatively named Albert Alberto because he and Juan Uribe Jr. have something in common, both coming from Juan Uribe Sr.'s complex. He's running a training complex down there in the Dominican Republic. That's what Marco Patti, who's the special assistant to the GM, shared with the reporters on the call just a few moments ago. It ended, that's what he shared, is that Juan Uribe's running things down there. He's got dorms set up. He's got a little stadium built. He's got a whole private training complex down there for kids in the area. They're local kids. And it sounds like he's already, you know, got some interest in some names from his group for next year's signing class. And, you know, I think you can crack a smile a little bit and say, oh, you know, the White Sox benefited from that Cuban connection for so long. Now they've got the Uribe pipeline coming their way. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. Marco Patti spoke glowingly of the work that Juan Uribe is doing, very involved with the day-to-day stuff down there as the kids live there and go to school and practice and play in games. And it sounds like he's trying to boost, you know, we talk so much about, you know, what the ACE program does up here with the White Sox. You know, another White Sox person looking out for their community and looking out for local kids down there. And it is produced the two newest members of the White Sox organization.
I don't want to get too in-depth of the Juan Uribe baseball reference page, but this quote did stick out to me when he talked to Hector Gomez. Several teams have shown interest in my son. I would like him to sign with the White Sox because he was born and raised in Chicago, and I played for them for five seasons. I love White Sox fans, and we love Juan Uribe back. And that's a very interesting wrinkle there, just that connection. And we even see that 2005 team having connections outside of Juan Uribe and outside of player sons because Jorge Vera had a connection to Jose Contreras as well, and Jose Contreras had a connection to Vera's dad and has helped him at least recently with his pitching and some of the training regimens. So just interesting seeing that, you know, the 2005 White Sox team still alive.
And you listen, Juan Uribe Jr. obviously going to get the headlines, but not the only son of a former ball player in this class. No. Abraham Nunez is the son of that Abraham Nunez. I believe he played for the Pirates, Herb. Is that correct? Am I thinking of the same guy there? Well, Sean will look it up.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
there's another one right there who projects to be a corner outfielder for these White Sox somewhere down the road.
Yeah, Abraham Nunez, a third baseman and shortstop in the league from 97 to 2008, played with the Pirates.
Nailed it.
From 97 to 2000.
Like, why are you asking me? You're the one who wins the game all the time.
St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Mets. So, yeah, you know, he was all right, but yeah, you know, he's 5'11", so hopefully his son's a little bit bigger.
But think about all the stars in baseball now. Most part, they're all products of fathers who played professional baseball. Mike Trout's dad played in the minors. Same thing with Chris Bryant, even though he's not at the top of the league. Vlad Guerrero Jr., of course. Tatis, of course. You know, just keeps on and on, especially hitters. So
Bo Bichette.
You have people who are leading
Gavin
the
Sheets.
Way.
Kevin Biggio.
Yes, Gavin Sheets. Look at all these people. See, you see it, you can believe it, you can be it. You grow up in clubhouses, you know how baseball is done, and you have a perfect tutor for you right here in your house.
We were lucky.
Did you mention Tatis?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he mentioned Tatis.
I mentioned Elijah Tatis.
Yeah, Elijah.
Not Fernando.
Yeah. We had Tony Gwynn's son.
Tony Gwynn Jr.?
Tony Gwynn Jr. Couldn't think of his name.
Love him.
Tony Gwynn Jr. on the score, and I was putting together an intro for him, and there was this report back from San Diego when he was a kid in the dugout with his dad, and he was like, nah, the outfield's boring. I'm going to play shortstop. And he was talking about, like, you know, just that mindset of being like, I could see my dad doing this, so, you know, what's stopping me from doing it? And
Ryan Hayes.
Tony
Gwynn
Jr.
The whole Blue Jays team, KPW, is just filled with former players' sons. Yeah, so, yeah, and, like, it's just Prince Fielder, who you bring up that name, Tony Gwynn Jr., he tells a story about his dad, Tony Gwynn Sr., the greatest hitter of my lifetime, greatest left-handed hitter of my lifetime, just hitter pure. Just saying, like, things over these single hay hitters' heads. Like, it's Prince Fielder's there. Tony Gwynn Jr.'s there. There's other people. I think Richie Sexton and other people there in single A. And he's like, yeah, when you see the ball and the release of the pitcher out of his hands, you see the laces, and everybody's looking like, I don't see no damn laces. I see the ball. He's like, you guys don't see laces? Like, no, Dad. No one's you. You're Tony Gwynn. So it's like teaching the game to like players is kind of hard, but you get insight like that from your dad. And if Juan Uribe is imparting this knowledge to Juan Uribe Jr. and to all their players here in the Juan Uribe complex, good for the White Sox, because now they got it in. And I know there's like caps on how much money you could spend internationally, and so they won't be getting every single player out of Dominican, but I hope that is our place. Like, you lock it down. It has a big White Sox logo on it, Juan Uribe complex, pipelines to the White Sox. Because look at the leagues. Dominican team, man, this WBC is going to be stacked.
Patty also said, too, that this is probably not the final list. Some signings from Venezuela coming in the next couple days, or I shouldn't say that, soon, he said. This is not the final list. You know, some people were saying, didn't they have more money to spend than this? There are more signings coming.
I think their total was around 5.2, and as you could see, none of those numbers were reaching even a million. I think the highest were 2,700K. So, definitely still more room to add. And even James Fox, who co-hosts the Future Sox podcast, is a writer over for Sox Machine, hosts the Future Sox podcast with Mike Rankin. We've had both of those guys on this podcast before. I haven't seen his exact reactions, but he did share this from Baseball America. The White Sox have the most international prospects on their top 10 prospect list. So we'll see if that comes to fruition in about 4 to 5 years.
Does that mean that the current White Sox top 10 are guys that the most number of those guys are ones that they had signed to international deals prior? Your Colossus, your Cespedeses, your Veras, if you will.
That would be a great context to know. But
that's what I heard from you reading that.
I'm not a Baseball America subscriber. I just read James's tweet verbatim.
And with that picture that you just showed up there with Lawrence, the guy's got the butterfly collar almost. Like, it's, I think he's throwing back to Manny Mignoso, and he's in front of a picture of Manny Mignoso while he's signing his contract, which is a pimp-ass thing to do, too, to sign with the White Sox in front of a Cuban legend, even though I know he's Dominican, and coming to that team that he made famous.
And James Fox, too, also said Angelo Hernandez is a Venezuelan catcher who will be joining this group. They still have over $2.4 million available to spend during the signing period. So you're right that Venezuela might be the next place that they go, or I guess Marco Patti.
Marco
right.
said that.
Yeah, Marco Patti is correct.
I'm just telling you that that's what he said, yes.
That he'll be going to Venezuela next.
You don't need to confirm that he's correct. No. He would know.
Good job, Marco.
he would know. Yeah, good job, Marco. I think that's it with the international signings. Yeah, let's go to Sox Mom's question. We'll open up the mailbag, and then we'll take a break. We do have our CHGO diehard Discord, so if you are looking to become a member, if you're become a diehard, you get a free t-shirt when you sign up, you get access to our CHGO lounge, you get a nice diehard card as well. Head over to allchgo.com to sign up. But we have diehards asking us questions each and every Monday. First up, we have Sox Mom, who I think was in the chat as well, so shout out to Sox Mom, saying, out of the remaining free agents, if you can pick one to sign, who are you getting? And boys, let me tell you, this market is dry. If you want a catcher, Gary Sanchez is the best one available. If you want a first baseman, Yuli Gurriel is around. Also, Jesus Aguilar, who I said might be taking up the spot for Miami. He's a free agent. So Gavin Sheets might be, maybe he'll go down to Miami. Josh Harrison is the best second baseman unsigned. Elvis Andrus is the best shortstop unsigned. Donovan Solano is the best third baseman unsigned. Adam Duvall is the best left fielder unsigned. Odubel Herrera is the best center fielder unsigned. And Tyler Naquin is the best right fielder unsigned. There's pitchers as well.
So no one then.
Anyone?
I mean, for only second baseman starting pitcher market, no, there's nobody. And somebody mentioned the guy that I was looking for. I'm, of course, a secondary Padres fan. And I think it was Shlomo right there that said that Jerickson Profar, he is a switch hitter, mostly played left field last year for the Padres, but is brought up in the game as a middle infielder. So second base would be a great spot for him. Has a decent bat. like I said, switch hitter, and his glove is all right. Now, he hasn't played every day second base, I don't think, for a while now. So that would be maybe the problem, but he grew up as a second baseman, still has decent range, never really made a lot of errors there. I don't know if he's a butcher necessarily, but his bat would play. It would be a nice upgrade for the White Sox, even if he's chased off of second base because he can't play that well. As a fourth outfielder, Jerickson Profar, you can't do well. I mean, you can't do any much better than that.
I mean, the answer to this question is someone who plays second base, I think, has got to be the answer to this question. I wrote about it today, you know, what's left for the White Sox to do, what might they do before opening day, and I've said it a bunch on this show before, I'll say it again, I think you've got to have a little bit more certainty with your everyday guys when you're going into a season, when you're trying to compete for a championship. You could argue, well, it looks like Oscar Colas is going to be their everyday right fielder right now. Oscar Colas is a little bit more, prospect promise, we'll say, than a Romy Gonzalez or a Lenin Sosa, at the moment at least. Those guys could certainly prove themselves over the coming months. But I think that bringing in a veteran second baseman, if nothing else than to just make Romy Gonzalez show you he's ready for prime time, he's ready to have this job, it's something that strikes as a pretty big need from my standpoint. I don't know if the White Sox agree or not. Rick Hahn said that could be a spot where they add. He was leaving the door open for it, basically, that they could go get somebody. We saw them do it late in spring training last year. Obviously, there were different circumstances with the lockout, but how many years now have we seen significant signings drag into February and even March after camp start? So, you got to stop with Elvis Andrus. He doesn't play second base. He is a shortstop. He could go play shortstop for another team. He's probably not going to say, they have a shortstop job open over there with Team X and Team Y and Team Z. But boy, do I like those White Sox. And so I'll play something I've never played before over there with them. Usually not how that works. Usually guys would like to be paid as a starting shortstop rather as an option to be a second baseman. Who knows? Maybe Josh Harrison is that guy and they save a couple million dollars by, not picking up the option back in the fall and now, maybe turning around and signing him to a very inexpensive deal this time around. But I think there's got to be something there at second base, and it's got to be a guy who plays second base. Herb, you just said, go put Jerickson Profar there at second base. And then their next breath was, yeah, he might not be able to play second
base.
Yeah, that's a problem. They need a second baseman.
Yeah, I understand, but I looked and I tried. And I tried even put pigeonhole Iglesias on this team. No, he can't hit. I would just rather go with, they're gone this far already. I think they're more than likely going to either trade or, like Vinny says, go and get somebody after they see Romy and or Lenning, struggle in spring training. I think, if you're going to be doing that, I would just want Profar for his production on the team. Yes, somebody brings up an attendee is probably the everyday left fielder, and that I agree with that. But there's no bad thing to have an extra bat off the bench in case one of these guys, which they traditionally do, get hurt. And so you're not going to, like we said in last year, like when Luis Robert was hurt, we're like, what do you want? Mark Payton to come up there? What do you want? Rutherfords to come up there? No, we have a Major League Baseball player in Jerickson Profar. Yes, it's going to cost you more than an also-ran player, but also you're going to get Major League performance out of him. So when these dudes do get hurt, you're still going to get Major League performance and not fall off the table.
Hard though, to convince a free agent to come aboard to do that role.
It's late in the game.
It is, and maybe it drags into March, and there's a guy looking around saying, well, I'd rather have a job than no job, and if that's the job, then I'll take it. But I think it's another point in favor of them maybe making a trade here that would involve filling that hole in some way at second base. Again, I don't think anybody is going to come around that's going to have everybody running for their phones to go buy season tickets. But there is something left for this team to do, whether that's adding depth in the pitching staff or, even going and getting a backup catcher or something like that. But, I don't think we're going to sit here and say, guys, wait till you hear who the White Sox have signed today. No, it's going to be somebody who can help them from a baseball standpoint, but is not going to be setting any worlds on fire.
Especially for second base. Like, truly, the best case scenario is, like, Jose Iglesias moving from shortstop to second base. I'm okay. Right now, according to Fangraph's roster resource, Tim Anderson projected to play shortstop, Andrew Benintendi in left, Robert in center, DH Aloy, Yoan at third, Andrew Vaughn at first, Grandal at catcher, Gavin Sheets in right, Romy at second base. They also have Zavala, Berger, Garcia, and Reyes rounding out the lineup. We assume that Oscar Colas will probably be in right field over Gavin Sheets. Maybe that's where they find the addition for second base. As one of those left-handed outfielders, they're able to move away from that surplus and add to this team. But I really would be shocked if they add another free agent. And if they do, I think it's going to be someone familiar like Josh Harrison, just because second base is really, 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 really bad. Josh Harrison is fine. I don't really think free agency is going to be their next move. I've been surprised that they made the Mike Clevenger move and the Andrew Benintendi move. I thought they'd be making a trade by now, and really the only trade's the Gregory Santos move, which I don't think Rick Hahn was indicating.
Right, and that might not get, that might even not even be a guy who makes the opening day roster. So
I might never play a game with the White Sox.
I think you're right. I think a trade is the way to go. But as of course we've talked about over and over again, how do they put together a trade that gets them what they need? Maybe what you say there applies to the trade market as well, where there are guys at second base that are just not super exciting, and so it takes very little to get a super unexciting guy to come play second base for you. I was looking at MLB trade rumors lately, and they shouted out a couple potential trade partners, you know, just speculating, obviously. The Blue Jays have some surplus infielders there. And then, obviously, the Marlins just brought in, was it Gene Segura they just signed to play middle infield for them? So they've got some guys down there, too, that, again, no one's gonna don't go racing to Baseball Reference. They're not going to knock your socks off, no pun intended. But they're guys, and they've done this before.
You wrote that in your story, too. I mean, now you're...
It's a good line, I feel like.
It's a good line.
Is that no pun intended, too. That's awesome. Yeah. I heard you guys talking before the show, and I know it's not part of the thing, and you probably got to do a read, but Gavin Sheets, what's his role? Like, is he just, like, a fifth infield, or just play first base, / backup to Aloy, / backup to Oscar Colas? That's a huge ask for, third-year player that's going to get very few at-bats if those young players, all young, are healthy.
Well, and you're not taking any of those guys out of the lineup for any reason. There was a world where, you know, Gavin Sheets could be a platoon bat. You know what I mean? He can face one hand a pitcher. You go get a guy who can face another, and you timeshare that position out there. Oscar Colas seems to be a guy who, if he lives up to the hype, you don't need to take him out of the lineup when another kind of hand of pitcher comes in. Certainly, Aloy Jimenez, Andrew Benintendi, and Andrew Vaughn are going to be in there every day that they're healthy and able to play. So, it's really table scraps in terms of playing time for Gavin Sheets, which is a shame because, you know, while people out there, White Sox fans, might not be enamored with Gavin Sheets.
Fred says DFA him.
That's enough, Fred.
I get it, though. He's a guy that has not really been given the opportunity to show what he can do over the course of a full season. DFAing him doesn't make any sense because you could just send him down. But you could just keep him at AAA if you needed to. But, you would think that he's a guy who could play an everyday first base or even right field or DH for one of these many teams that will not be competing for a playoff spot in 2023. But is there a match there in terms of what you can get? Can you only get kind of pennies for him back? Maybe you can't get a starting second baseman back for just Gavin Sheets. But you would think that if we're sitting around saying, oh boy, where's he going to play? I doubt there's this like secret plan to make Gavin Sheets an integral part of what the White Sox are trying to do next year. If we're looking around and being like, how's he even going to get any at-bats?
Right, and Matt's saying Sheets only produces against left-handeds and at home, which, you know, is true. But the main thing that he does well is hits fastballs against any type of fastball in 2022. 114 players had a run value above 6. Sheets was one of them. Does well against cutters, does well against sinkers. That type of profile he does well against. And a team like the Giants, who lacks left-handed power and usually likes matching up batters to certain pitch profiles, I wouldn't be shocked that he's valuable to some team. It's just, you know, finding that value and proper value. Sheets also, too, we saw him tailor his swing to the shift last year. We saw him pepper a lot of balls into left field when he was being shift. With the shift gone, how does that change his profile? Is he able to pull more? Is he able to try and go for more home runs? He's an interesting player to watch, especially during spring training, just because he could really have a boom season if everything goes right for him.
I think he could do a lot. I mean, I think he's a valuable bat to have, but if you're not going to deploy that bat, if you don't have the opportunity to deploy that bat, what's he doing on the roster,
him
right?
And Jake, exactly. Yeah. It's him exactly. And Jake Berger are kind of just in that same no man thing. Zone. Like, right. Both of them have great power, but they're basically DHs with the way that they field.
I mean, I know it's harder to make MLB trades than we make it seem because of the old Madden slash MLB The Show mentality.
It's the MVP mentality, please.
It's just like, I got it. We got to move this guy because he has no room. And I'm sure Rick Hahn sees the same thing much more than we do. And AJ, that's hilarious. Yeah. He says, if Sheets has 100 fans, I'm one. If Sheets has one fan, that's me. If Sheets has no fans, I've disappeared. Hilarious. Good job. But I'm sure Rick is like saying the same things we do. The roster crunch, the lack of a bats for a guy that is 25, 26, and then also Jake Berger, who had 8 home runs and his limited time out there, just can't field. There's value for those guys on a Pirates, on a Reds, on a Diamondbacks. You know, Diamondbacks can't use it because Christian Walker's too good. But, you know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of left-handed power.
A team that actually is just rebuilding, doesn't care not necessarily about winning. I mean, the Reds pretty much said that in an article I saw today.
They're saying it all the time.
Oh, my Jesus. But Gavin Sheets can get you some type of value. I don't think it's major league talent. I think it's minor league talent that's middling that you can probably put in your minor league system, see what you could do with it. But I don't think you're getting a major league middle infielder for Gavin Sheets.
Here's the thing. What if Oscar Colas has a bad spring?
Right.
That's why I would have wanted to protect
him. And that might be why Gavin Sheets is still here.
What if Gavin Sheets, versus all this quad A pitching he might see versus spring training, hits like 10 home runs? I mean, like, it's possible. He's got.
There's a perfectly fine chance that that roster projection that you read off from whoever that was projecting the lineup ends up right. What if Gavin Sheets beats Oscar Colas in a position battle for right field in spring training?
Dan, we're not trying to give Sheets too much, but this isn't love. We're not saying Gavin Sheets is so good. We're just saying Gavin Sheets might have value, and also what's his value. We're debating 13 and 12-man persons on this roster. I mean,
I think we all agree that Gavin Sheets is somewhere in between a 4A slash Major League Baseball player. I side on he's an actual Major League Baseball player.
How do you know?
I know he's not a triple A player because he goes down there and crushes, but I think he's in the middle. Like
he hasn't been given the chance to show that.
Exactly.
He hasn't been given the chance to show that. And now he's got no shift.
Yeah. And I would love for him to do that. I would love for him on a different team to do that. Cause there's no at bats here for the White Sox. Now people get hurt. Then you can go to Gavin Sheets, but I don't think that's fair to the player to say, hey man, somebody gets hurt, you're going to be playing a lot. If not, find your bats wherever they are. We might send you back to AAA.
It's just I think there's a lot of things that people will suggest moves, and we've got a whole chat full of them today. You know, I'm seeing people suggesting that they should go sign more pitchers, starting pitchers.
Yeah,
major league starting pitchers. And well, they've got 5 major league starting pitchers right now. And you might think, but I don't want Lucas Giolito, or I don't want Mike Clevenger on the team. Well, that's a lot of ifs, and you got to just make one move to add to this team. That doesn't require you moving a bunch of other pieces around. And right now, Colas looks like he's going to be given a shot to be the everyday right fielder, but that could change. And right. So maybe Gavin Sheets is by the end of spring training.
My guy Matt from Oakland saying Sheets is a serviceable hitter. Second base is more of a need. Yeah. I think when you look at the way that they've attacked the free agent market with Jake Marisnyk, Victor Reyes, like it seems like it will be Billy Hamilton. It will be a competition for that spot. Gavin Sheets might win that competition. He might not. Plain and simple. There's some things that he's done well.
I think those are two very different jobs. If Gavin Sheets is on this team with Oscar Colas being the everyday right fielder, Gavin Sheets is here to hit.
Yes.
Those guys would be playing defense.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, what does it say, though, if both Colas and Sheets make it? That Sheets is just...
That they value... That with that roster spot, they value the power potential off the bench more than they value somebody being able to plug in a defense, because they think that with Kolas and Benintendi, they've upgraded the defense so much in the outfield that they don't need to have Adam Engel come in every single day in the seventh inning to spell a lawyer, right fielder, whoever, right? Because they've upped that. The defense they had, they should be starting every game with their best outfield defense on the field, you know. And obviously, Billy Hamilton might be better than at defense than Oscar Kolas, but why make a second investment in that same roster spot for somebody who can also already do that job way better than whoever was doing it last year was doing it?
Yeah, 100%. Let's take a quick break here. We'll get off the Gavin Sheets train and go into more Mailbag Monday questions. I thought we were going to be limited on thoughts here, and it's been 35 minutes until our first break. There you go.
Folks have been helping us out. We've been getting some good answers. Hey. Well, you guys can be good answers. I've been all right.
And I got a great answer, too. If you're looking for some school lunches, something to put in your school lunch, if you're looking for something at happy hour, Green Ridge Farm is a local Chicago meat and cheese company offering you a better all-natural option at tailgating, happy hour, or school lunchtime. They're the makers of all-natural deli meat sausages and their famous meat sticks. These all-natural meat sticks are hardwood smoked for 8 hours, and with 16 grams of protein per stick, they make a perfect post-workout snack. Meat sticks come in chicken, black forest beef, and flavors like jalapeno cheddar and spicy chili. And you haven't tried them yet, you don't know what you're missing out on. They are delicious because they are made from recipes generations in the making, and being all natural, they deliver a fresh and flavor alternative at snack time. You can always find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, Sam's Club, or in your local Chicagoland grocery store. I always like to wave hi to the Green Ridge Farm meats in the, my Jewel Deli section.
They ever wave back?
What's that?
Do they ever wave back?
No. Oh. They're nice.
That's rude.
Like they're also handless.
Oh. That is a problem.
I like my deli meat handless.
I would agree.
I don't. I
much
would,
better.
I'd be very off-put if there was a hand in my deli meat. But right now, when
that's
you order...
That's what Green Ridge Farms promises.
Yes. No hands,
no hands.
In your meat. Right now, when you order any three handless meat products at greenridgefarm.com and include a pack of meat stick in your cart, those meat sticks will also be free and hand-free simply by using the code CHGO. Check out Green Ridge Farm, simply natural meat. We also got to let you know about our good friends over at ComEd. The ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities we serve manage energy usage and lower energy bills now and into the future. ComEd offers a wide array of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to upgrade commercial, industrial, and public sector customers of all sizes across our territory. Customers can inquire about how to upgrade updated lighting to energy and money-saving efficient LED lights, learn more about network lighting to operate your lights through your mobile device, and track your facility's energy usage and more. Incentives have recently increased for indoor outdoor lighting and network lighting controls, making these projects even more cost effective than ever before. So visit comed.com/poweringbiz. That's comed.com/poweringbiz now to start saving money and energy. And to start a project, contact us at 1-855-433-2700. For more information, email businessee@comed.com or publicsectoree@comed.com. Thank you to ComEd. Let's get into the next questions from our guy across the pond, Ian Rubbo. Ian said, how big of an influence will Pedro Grifol be on the players and the Sox as a whole? Totally different from what we've seen before. I think this is an interesting question because you could also bring in Sam Mondry Cohen, who is the newest addition to the White Sox organization. He is being brought in as an analyst, former assistant GM with the Nationals. I think he held that position for the last... I think from 2017 to 2019, but he basically built the analytical database for the Washington Nationals starting in 2014 and leading and culminating in the World Series win in 2019. And now he is being brought to the White Sox to bring another outside voice. And I think that's been the biggest thing that Rick Hahn's harped about is bringing in outside voices like Pedro Grifol, Chris Johnson from Charlotte, Sam Mondry Cohen from Washington. It feels like these outside voices is a large emphasis on this 2022 offseason.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. That's what he spent the end of 2022 saying was, he had said it a few years earlier, and obviously it didn't go that way with the Tony La Russa hiring, but that was the biggest takeaway that I had from the Pedro Grifol hiring was, hey, this guy's different. This guy's not the same thing we've been hearing over and over again. The question that was asked is a good one. We're not going to know the answer to it until, at the very least, spring training starts, but maybe even until we're into the season. These guys need to get used to Pedro Grifol. The only one who has a relationship existing with him already is Andrew Benintendi, who, you know, does not have that relationship with all of his new teammates, with a few exceptions. But, you know, it's another new voice for these guys. That some of them, you know, Ricky Renteria was a new voice. Some of them, Tony La Russa was a new voice, and now Pedro Grifol is a new voice. We're going to see. We heard from Pedro, or I heard from Pedro when I talked to him a couple weeks ago. You know, what's your camp going to be like? What has your conversations been with everybody? And, you know, they're still in the prep phase. They're still getting ready for that. You know, come mid-February when everybody shows up, that's when we're going to find out the answers to these questions. And it might, depending on what the guys say, end up, you know, reflecting on last year, what they thought some of the things that went wrong were. It might end up being the biggest difference for this White Sox team in 2023, which, I mean, I've brought this up before. It really looked like the biggest move that Rick Hahn made, that the biggest, you know, faith that was placed in changing things from last year to this year was on Pedro Grifol and a new coaching staff, more so than it was on any individual player or, you know, augmentation of the roster. So it's a great question. We're going to find out the answer one of these days. I don't think you can say with any certainty what the effect has been yet until we get to talk to these guys and hear how things are different under the new regime.
And as a White Sox fan, I always look at the team and the organization being not that great. And so what they've done now with Rick going outside of the organization, you get fresh eyes on something that you've been looking at. And maybe you've had this narrow vision the whole time of, this is what Aloy is, this is what Luis is, this is what the other player. And you've put that into the White Sox lens. Now with people coming on from the outside, like Chris Johnson, even though he was in the organization, he was at Charlotte. You see how many people he helped bring back to the major leagues. People who have been closer to the major leagues and how Major League Baseball is played currently, like Chris Johnson, just played baseball in the 2000s. You got Tozar, who's been, you know, roving instructor. Now he's a field coordinator. The Rodriguez guy from, where is he, from Miami Marlins?
The hitting coach? Jose Castro's from the Braves.
From the Braves. So you have people out here who are knowing baseball from an outside perspective, not just White Sox perspective. And so you get fresh eyes on those guys. And I think he's going to be working in a collaborative type of effort with his coaches to allow them to do their jobs, more like a CEO. Like, he'll say, hey, this is my standard. You, the pitching coach, Ethan Katz, do your thing with your pitchers. You, Castro, do your thing with the hitters. I'm here to break ties. I'm here if you guys are going astray from my plan. I'll get you right on the same path. But for the most part, I'm not here to tell you grown people how to do your jobs. You know how to do your jobs and get back to fundamentals, as he saw with the White Sox. Some days they would come in ready to play. Some days they would come in lackadaisical. I know that focus will be, hey, from day one, we're going to be focused on playing games the way we need to play them, because you guys have way too much damn talent to be an 81-81 team, and I'm going to get the most out of you.
And I think, too, we saw the upgrade from Don Cooper's pitching style and the way that he ran that entire pitching staff compared to the modern way Ethan Katz runs it. I think Frank Minichino kind of signals very similarly to that Don Cooper. And I think now that you're bringing in Chris Johnson and the way that he's talking about, you know, just vertical movement on a fastball and how that's going to be a part of everyday language for the White Sox.
Yeah, the video you shared with in the article you wrote the other day with James Fegan, I watched it initially when I wasn't here and I saw James Fegan in the studio, and I was like, it went over my head. When you put it again into the context of that article, I was like, wow, just people having different opinions. Like, I usually don't think that hitting coaches necessarily have a big effect on major league hitters because their swings are established, things like that. But little anecdotes like that, little notes like that, and how James was telling it, like, he gives them indigestible, like, these lay people can understand, not like, well, he's got 17 inches of vertical rise, and usually these guys are this, that, and the other. He says, hey, you're a major league baseball player. His baseball is major leagues are 16 inches usually. This guy's got 17. So whatever you're thinking, go a little bit up higher than that, and you could hit that high fastball. That was enthralling stuff. And if Chris Johnson can bring that to the major leagues with these White Sox, I'm all for it. I mean, help Gavin Sheets.
Right. Hopefully they can, and you know, we saw Luis Robert open up his stance a little bit more. Yasmani Grandal used the ground a little bit more in Charlotte. So hopefully they can bring a little bit more of a modern flair to their hitting approach in 2023. Let's take another break, and then we got a couple more questions after the break, and then we'll wrap this up. Got to let you know about Shady Rays. They never understood why sunglasses were so expensive, so they set out to change it. You don't have to break the bank for quality sunglasses this winter, because our friends at Shady Rays have you covered. Shady Rays are premium polarized shades featuring world-class optical clarity, substantial durability, and styles catered to everyone and every lifestyle. And the best part about Shady Rays, they have the most insane protection program in all of eyewear, lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your shades on day one, they told us that they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. And even with that strong of a protection program, they still managed to make quality that I can tell you when we hold in our hands. We all got many pairs from Shady Rays, and mine are still lasting and look like brand new from you know, over a month of wear. They are made incredibly strong, and Shady Rays customers seem to agree with over 200,000 five-star reviews. They stand behind their product and told their team that if anyone has a product, they will throw profit out the window and do what it takes to get it right. They offer free returns and exchanges. You either love the shades or Shady Rays will pay them to ship them back. That's it. So exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is running their deepest deal of the season. Use code CHGO for 50% off two or more pairs at ShadyRays.com. Buy one, get one free. You can get two pairs for as low as $54. Redeem only at ShadyRays.com, where you can find all their newest and best shades. Also got to let you know about Athletic Greens. I've been watching Peacock recently, and Athletic Greens has their ads there. I know about Athletic Greens. We've been taking them for over 10 months now. But it's nice to see, different ads.
This is a Peacock ad all the time?
That was weird. Like, why?
Well, it wasn't a Peacock ad. Yeah, it was more of an Athletic Greens thing. Like,
just happened.
It's just interesting. I've been reading this ad for about 10 months, and it was a different way to digest an Athletic Greens ad.
Gotcha.
So that's, I don't know. Our next partner has a product.
On Peacock?
Huh?
That was my Peacock question as well.
The Office.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's acceptable.
Pretty boring. But when I saw...
I thought you were watching, like, the Chicago shows.
No.
You gotta watch
Chicago Fire. You gotta watch Chicago
Baking
Man.
It. Baking It was pretty you like that? Fantastic.
It well,
I love Making It, which was Nick Offerman and Amy Poehler just basically riffing and having fun with people doing crafting stuff. It was, like, the most positive, uplifting reality show competition type thing. And they did the offshoot Baking It.
With Maya Rudolph.
Amy and Maya Rudolph, and they're just hilarious. So, Shout out to Baking It.
I've been interested. Episodes. Again, they have those commercials, the Baking It commercials on Peacock as well, and I've been interested by that show. So I'm glad I got your rec on that.
You know what I watched on Peacock yesterday?
What?
Arsenal, the mighty Arsenal, beating up on the scum from Tottenham.
There you go.
2-0 to the Arsenal, top of the table, let's go.
Congratulations. hey, Arsenal offered me $160,000 a week to play for them.
That's not enough.
It's not enough
for you.
Anyways, our next partner has a product I use literally every day. I started taking AG1s because they've been a sponsor with us since we started back on March 4th. So over 10 months, I've been taking and waking up with AG1s. It doesn't taste super healthy. It kind of has a mild tropical taste that I look forward to each and every morning. And with one delicious scoop of AG1, I absorb 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help me start my day right. This special blend of ingredients supports my gut health, my nervous system, my immune system, my ability to focus, my energy all throughout the day. And it's lifestyle-friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free or gluten-free, and it costs less than $3 a day. You're investing into your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. So right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No needs for millions of different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGOSocks. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/CHGOSocks to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Let's go to the next question here.
First shout-out to KPW. I always knew I liked him.
Yeah. That.
Let's go, Arsenal.
Now he's a gunner with
let's
you.
Let's go.
Let's go to the next question here, and it is from our guy, Who's Your Daddy? He had a suggestion, less of a question, but I just wanted to include it. Would CHGO be interested in having some kind of prediction contest, like maybe having a list of categories for diehards to fill out, predict, and whoever gets the most right at the end of the season wins a prize? I thought this was good. We could use DK lines, like right now, the Sox to win the American League Central is at plus 180, if you think they could win it. And obviously we'll get win totals, home run totals. We had our own picks last year, and we had like 10 White Sox home run or players hitting 20 plus home runs. And
yeah.
None of them did. We're all way off. So this could be fun to get people involved. So if you do want to become a diehard and get involved on this chat and maybe the predictions before spring training, head over to allchgo.com, sign up to be a diehard, and we'll definitely get some sort of contest out for you guys. Maybe we'll even include the Cubs guys on this. So it's kind of all Chicago baseball predictions, and we could see how you guys do. Final one, we got it from our guy Clark, Know It None, asking about the 500 section. I can't read that from here, so let me go to my can you read it, Lawrence? Because I can't.
Oh, I'd love to. Shout out to AJ as well for being something of an Arsenal guy. Well done, gentlemen. Know It None says, with the building permits for new bars on the 500 level, what are other reasonable improvements you would like to see to the park slash area? Mine? Renovate the entry process by tearing out a lot of the old walk-up ticket booths that will never be used again because of electronic ticketing and make them gates.
Thank you very much, Lawrence. Very great reading. Hey, thoughts on Clark's recommendation here?
Clark's suggestion is going to run into some problems once you get past the gates, as the other side of those walk-up ticket booths are just the Sox offices. That's where the offices are. It's not even on the same floor as the 100 level. The 100 level is up a floor, so that's gonna take some significant remodeling to get a ramp there that'll let you into the park. I get it. You want the wide gate right behind home plate. You know that makes total sense. It looks real good over on the north side. They've got the big open area right behind home plate, right on the street corner that you can walk into. It would be cool if they had that at 35th and Shields, but the ballpark is not exactly built for that at the moment.
And I think the biggest complaint right now is, like, especially with some of these bigger giveaway days or just bigger games, like I think the Astro games or the Astro series, like there wasn't even a giveaway, but still by the third inning, like there's still lines outside because getting people in is difficult. So, I mean, I think Clark just wants it to save people time and money and effort.
Well, and I'm specifically thinking of those ones at 35th and Shields, but the more I think about it, they do have ones down the that's the first baseline that are just in the parking lot. There's a small number of them right there. But yeah, I guess anything more you can open the park to to make a more aesthetically pleasing entrance would be nice.
Well, accessible too. Like get people in and spending on beer instead of spending time in the parking lot.
As a former former 500 season ticket holder, I think we should have like slides, like
slides
from the upper deck to the parking lot, because going down that whole damn thing, so annoying all the time. It's like, oh my god, we just won the game. I spent 20 minutes going down a damn staircase. Well,
you got to make it fun. Like when I was always a child in the 500 section, going down the ramps, you would grab the railing and then swing people on. So you'd get like a chain of six people and then you'd start from the top where it like curves and then you'd swing somebody around and down the ramp so it'd go quicker. Are you dying over there?
I am dying.
Okay. All right.
I caught something in my throat and it's not stopping. I'm trying to drink this delicious beer hug. It's not working.
Make a quick suggestion and then we'll get off so Herb can take
care
of
us. No, I'm good now. I just need that last cough.
You still sound like
also. I mean, I sound always terrible. The upper deck is never used, really, especially in those corners. I forgot what number they are, like 507.
Yeah.
Do like in other ballparks where the actual upper deck is an event. You go up there to see the crazy 507 group. Like the 108s are down there, but it's just a bar, and you're just having a good time. You're not watching the game at all. That is the scene that you want to have, because that place, no matter if it's the White Sox are doing well, the White Sox are doing bad, no one's sitting up in those seats unless they're ironically sitting up there like, oh, yeah, look, I'm sitting in the highest seat in 507. I'm this guy. That's just a bunch of wasted space up there that they're not even taking care of. Like, just at least cater to people who want to come and have a great time. Like, have cheap beers up there, like $3 beers. Get drunk. I know. People are, a little apprehensive. They can't go down to the 100 level anyways. Let the 500 people have some fun.
Well, Herb, you've been up in the 500 level.
I have.
If you were to construct a slide from the 500 level all the way down, that's like one of those straight up going down the side of a skyscraper slides that they've got in the Bahamas. that's a recipe for disaster.
A lot of curls in that one.
You're going to need you're going to need a landing pad that is like the thickness of the entire 100 level in order to make sure people don't die dropping off the top of that thing. What I'll say, we talked about the stadium the other day. There were some suggestions I had. Mm-hmm. Get rid of that fundamentals deck. Put a bar up there. That's fine. But the question,
the kids,
fuck them.
The question said, are there any changes you'd like to make to the park slash area?
Mm-hmm.
And Listen, I like Bridgeport a lot. Mm-hmm. People need a reason to stay in Bridgeport. Mm-hmm. So you get those parking lots out of there, and you put things to do there. Mm. I know everybody loves the parking lot. Oh, it's so easy for me to drive from the suburbs and park. Just take the train. It's great. Or live in the city. That's even better. And you go, you walk out of the ballpark. You got a bar over here. You got a hot dog stand over here. And make it like cool stuff that people like to do, unlike the thing they got over on the north side, which is just, you know, the main street of a college town all over again.
But that's the thing, though, is like the Cubs are trying to buy out Wrigleyville, basically, and just make that Cubs town. And like,
it's becoming less fun by the minute.
But the White Sox could basically do that. There's so much space over there that I feel like they could expand.
But that's not organic. It's not organic. You know what I mean? Do people just want to go
to... the parking lots, though, is?
Do people just want to go to 18 different versions of Shy Sox Bar and Grill? Ugh. Don't you want to go to, like, a cool thing?
That's true. I want to go to one Shy Sox Bar and Grill. Or go to this place right here. Ballpark Pub, right down the street, 39th, Pershing. It's a great, awesome place that's a little hike, but if you're going that way and you park over there, go over there.
But what if that place was across the street?
Right, that's the thing. It's like, that's on 39th.
What if I didn't have to drive to Maria's? What if I could just stumble out of the stadium to Maria's and then... stumble to the L.
Yeah, it's still a four walk block to Maria's.
I mean, but there's no more tailgating? You just kill tailgating because you got rid of the parking lots? Or you just get rid of one of them?
I mean, also, I'm being selfish.
Yes.
You know, yes, I want to walk outside to a bar after work.
After
I
kids,
don't necessarily do any tailgating.
I mean,
I never go up to the fundamentals deck.
Yeah, kids don't spend any money. So why are we going to build them stuff?
It's free.
I know. They don't spend money. They don't. They didn't buy that damn ticket.
What a bar.
I agree with Vinny.
The world's largest bar.
No kids. No kids.
Well, how many decks is that? Three? Four?
Fundamentals?
It's three? It's 200. I don't know. I think it's actually four decks. So you could have like a four-decker bar. Sounds great.
Quad bar.
Be up there. Just imagine. Just have a beer. Have a cup holder. Just looking at the game.
That's perfect.
There you go.
Instead, South Putt doesn't have to worry about, like, getting hit with a wiffle ball or anything anymore. Well, yeah, it's perfect
to
idea.
Clark's point too, like, maybe there's an entrance just made for the fundamental four quadruple deck bar that people could just go up behind the back. You know?
Even, you know, and you know what? Just call it the Fundamentals Bar.
There you go.
You don't even have to change the name.
Yes. Just take down deck.
Kids are just sitting there, just go up there, just like, just crying. Where's the... Sorry, kids. Got to be 21 to enter now.
Where's the race Billy Hamilton?
Dad's like, all right, kids, go back with your mom. I'm going up here. Having my fun.
I don't think we answered Clark's question, but we had fun
we did.
With it. Yeah,
okay. Totally answered.
Literally.
Make more bars is, I guess, the answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what people want to do. Go to the bar, go to the game, get drunk, go home.
You're welcome, White Sox.
And then go around the ballpark and get drunk more.
Like Vinny suggested.
Yeah. I can't walk all the way to Maria's and get there before closing time.
I'll be sober as hell by that time.
Just put it in the parking lot. That's going to do it for the CHGO Live White Sox Podcast. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. That's Vinny Duber. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. And the man in the middle is Herb Lawrence. You can follow him on Twitter at EchnerWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. We got some interesting stuff tomorrow, so make sure you're back with us. We're not at 4 p.m. Right? We're at 3 p.m.?
3 o'clock Central Time.
We're at 3 p.m., so make sure you're marking your schedules and joining us here bright and early for 3 p.m. Herb was going to show up at 4, so glad thing I told him.
Man, you guys are good.
Hey. But that's going to do it for the CHGO Live White Sox Podcast. Thank you to Lawrence Benedetto for producing the show, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you to everyone for hanging out with us, and go White Sox.